You're listening to Art Bank on 95BFM.
So that was Baby Zionov with Clubbing in the Time of Cholera. And before that, of course, REM with Stand. And now it's time for the first interview of this morning's show. So I'm going to be speaking to Lee Sirong about her exhibition with Jenny Zong at Depot Art Space. And that exhibition is And So We Build an Amusement Park on the Uninhabited Island. It's a collaborative exhibition, but we'll get into that in the interview. Just a little bit of background on Lee Sirong. She is an artist born in Tainan, Taiwan in 1994, and she lives and works in Auckland, New Zealand. She received her MFA from Elam, and she is a mixed media artist focusing specifically on everyday life and the relationship between humanity and things. She works across diverse mediums from painting, sculpture, photography, installation to poetry. With an illusion rich in everyday objects and debris, Sirong's artistic conception aims to integrate deconstructed little events and fragmented slices of daily routines. So we're going to jump into part one of that conversation now. Lee Sirong talking about And So We Build an Amusement Park on the Uninhabited Island. The exhibition title relates to lockdown isolation. When did you produce your paintings for this show?
I started this project in my last year master degree in 2020, which is right before the first lockdown. The semester started 1 week before the lockdown. So basically, we didn't have the chance to go to a studio. So I started in the online course, and then we do online meeting with supervisor every week. And so during whole 2020, it's for this whole project.
And were all the paintings done during that time or any of the last year?
So the painting is mainly pent on after the first lockdown around May to June, I think, around May or June, and then continuing till the Christmas, and then because we got the passport, so continuing early 2021.
Oh, yes.
Yes, so it's basically through a whole year from 2020 to 2021.
So there's quite a gap between you finishing these paintings and exhibiting them now.
Yeah, because this show actually was planning in 2021 September, but now it's postponed to 2022 now. Yeah, and during lockdown, I don't have the studio, so I do photography and portrait at home. And when I able to go in the studio at Elam School, I start painting.
And what brought you and Jenny together for the exhibition?
So Jenny and I have been friends since 2019 when we met at Elam, and we basically seen each other every day in the studio. So we know all the producing project of each other, and we mostly talk to each other about lots of feedback in studio. And at the end, we found that her concept is amusement park, and my theme is mainly an uninhabited island. And we realized that it's good that it might be, you know, nice to have our work together, being together in the same space.
Yeah, there's a conversation between your two works.
Yeah, like we try to install them together, our painting and her work together, and the color tone is quite matching, and my work, it's really playful, and her work is interactive one, so it's really like works really nice together in the same space.
The objects in your paintings are, you know, from a very wide range. A lot of them are everyday objects, but then you also have, I think I saw a volcano exploding
yeah.
in one of them. When did you start sort of involving these objects into your painting?
It's during lockdown. So I feel like during lockdown is everyone back to their own island. And in our island, like I face all the objects at home every day, and I spend my day with them. So like I turning the tap after getting up, cooking with a knife in the noon and I clean with a rag in the afternoon. So these are the objects that I use and they accompany me throughout the day. And so those little events that happen between myself and those objects, I build up my daily life. So I like suddenly like I come up this idea, and so I start this idea to putting everyday object into my studio practice. That's the beginning.
If someone was to go and see your paintings, what sort of objects would they expect to see, as well as the knife and the rock you've just described?
Yeah, so because it is really straightforward that you can see onion, like ice cream, socks, bread, hair dryer, mushroom, like you know, all kinds of everyday objects in our life. And you also can see some nature elements like stones, grass, mountain, birds, flower, and sun as well.
You talk about the everyday. Mm-hmm. And whenever I go overseas, I always think one of the most exciting things is to go to the supermarket because, you know, you see all the things that are everyone else's everyday objects that
yes.
are completely different to you.
Oh.
And I was thinking, you were born in Taiwan. Did you grow up in Taiwan?
Yeah, I grew up in Taiwan.
Do you think your relationship to the everyday objects here in Auckland is affected by not growing up with them?
You know, actually, when I saw this question, I quite surprised that, you know, Taiwan actually have a great influence on me. Because personally, I don't want to emphasize that where I came from in my artwork. And I don't want the audience to able to tell where I came from after they see my artwork. But basically, all my life experience in Taiwan are still on me unconsciously. And when even I came to New Zealand, but now I also find that all my poetry and publication are related to Taiwan as well. And they all connect to the little events that I personally experienced growing up in Taiwan. And I think those life experiences will accompany me through my days. And no matter where I live. But I also think that go to the supermarket in New Zealand and go to the supermarket in Taiwan, actually it's the same to me. Like we also see veggies and fruits, but just the languages is different. It's from Chinese to English. I think that's the only difference is the languages. But other than that, it's all the same for me. In Auckland, I also can go to the Korean market, the Japanese market, it's the same, and just the languages, it's different. Yeah, to me, it's like that.
When you say that you carry these experiences from Taiwan with you, do you think, you know, a lot of painters, I think, draw on a kind of lifetime of looking when they paint, and that's, you know, what you bring to the canvas. Do you think when you are painting, when you are in your studio, those experiences kind of come forward in your mind?
I think it is like unconsciously it is, but when I do the painting, maybe I don't realize that.
And yeah. What sort of experiences are you thinking of when you say that they do stick with you?
I really enjoy the time that I decide this object to be on the canvas, but when I complete the painting and friends come to see the painting and when we have a chat, it's like I can suddenly realize like maybe like green garlic, maybe in New Zealand culture you guys didn't put that a lot in the dish. I mean it's kind of like really back to the culture side that, I think it's back to the culture side and about different culture cuisines and stuff. But it's like, I don't know how to continue, but it's hard for me to describe this, that feeling.
So that is Lee Serong talking about her work in And So We Build an Amusement Park on the Uninhabited Island, an exhibition of hers with Jenny Zong at Depot Art Space. We'll be talking more about that in a moment. I've got part two of that interview. But before then, we're going to jump into a quick track. This is Bubbly by Gia Pett.
BFM slick.
That was Gia Pett with Bubbly, a lovely little dance number to get you started in the morning. And now continuing our interview with Lee Serong about her exhibition at Depot Art Space. And if you are interested in heading along to that exhibition, it's been open a couple of weeks because we did, the plan was to talk to Serong last week. But we did have last week's show postponed because of the MOTAT 100 Years of Radio celebrations. So that show is open until the 2nd of March. So head along this week to check out these paintings, as well as Jenny Zhong's wonderful sculptures. Here's Lee Serong continuing our conversation. You also talk about object-oriented ontology in your statement. And yeah. I was curious, you know, I've read a little bit about it, but I'm not super familiar. How would you describe object-oriented ontology, and particularly how would you describe it as a painter?
To answer this question, I have a little story I want to share. I called my mom after for an insomnia problem, and she told me how to fall asleep by thinking my body organs. So first, it's close your eyes and silently say thank you to each organ in your mind. So for example, like you can, so you lie down, close eyes and say, thank you eyes to let me see the wonderful world. And thank you hands for helping me to accomplish every day and everything today. And thank you, Sumik, for helping me absorb nutrition and have the energy to survive today. So after talking to four or five organs in this way, like I can feel I will have a drowsiness, and I tried a few times and I found it's really helpful. And it's not the organs that actually hear what I said, but it's the process of the gratitude and has a company effect. So I found that this concept of thanking objects is constant with object-oriented ontology to the same extent. And so I read the book Object-Oriented Ontology from Garhan Hartman, and he mentioned in the theory, a new theory of everything, that the existence of the things does not need to be transmitted through the human subjective consciousness, and objects and human beings are equal without any class division. They all exist independently, and they have their own reasons for being, and we can't understand the object itself in the first person. And I also found that in some ways this concept also linked to the Japanese Shinto animism and Kojiki, that nature is our god. So if no nature, there's no resource. If there's no resource, then there's no daily life. So we need to review everything. And I try to treat every object as an autonomous thing with its own spirit. So in my painting, I try to give some objects arms and leg and put that in a vivid way on the canvas so they can live in the scenes that there in my painting.
In your paintings, one of the things that I really liked about it is how these objects kind of float around, but the sense of scale is all blown out. Like, you know, the whale is as big as the volcano, is as big as a flower pot. And I do think that sense of each object being independent and having its own self-contained power comes across in that way. Do you, when you approach a painting, because you have these lovely misty kind of backgrounds or surfaces, do you paint intuitively on top of them? Do you start layering the objects, or do you have a strong plan of what you're going to put into a painting?
I actually paint intuitively, so I have a list, an object list first, but I didn't decide which object needs to be where at first. And so when I do the new painting, I usually paint a lot of painting at the same time to make the base with several canvas together. So I slowly add different objects onto them. So first I will sometimes it's so there's a situation like I don't know which object I should put in that corner. So I will leave that painting there for a while and move on to another one first. And then when I finish another one, I will come back to this one. So it's mostly many different painting continuing at the same time. And so I often finish many painting at the same time as well.
How long do you think you spend on a painting?
I think in this exhibition, those painting start from 2019. So I make the canvas in 2019, and then do the first layer of the cloudy background in 2019, and then I was thinking to continue, but it's lockdown, so I continuing from 2020 and then finish in 2020 and 2021. But there's a one, it took me really long. The painting called My Tree. So it's a really narrow, long canvas. And I do the first layer in 2018. And when 2019, I add two more layers on it, and I leave it. I didn't touch it for like almost half a year. And when it's after 2020 is locked down, and after lockdown, I feel like, oh, maybe it's time to put a tree on it. So I finally decided to paint a tree on that canvas. Yeah, so it takes quite long for me.
You've talked about, you know, at the moment, you've been working on poetry and photography because you don't have a studio.
Yeah.
Do you normally focus on one or two mediums? Because you also work as a sculptor. You know, you sort of, and I believe you've also done video work.
Yeah, I've done video work.
So you do a bit of everything. But
yeah.
Do you normally just focus on, you know, if you're painting, you'll be painting? Or are you kind of moving around different mediums?
I kind of keep moving around. I don't know why, but I just cannot do like focus on one media. I feel like I do painting. Like now I'm I also work on painting and ceramic with the clay now at home on the table, but just little sketching and stuff. And I feel like when I paint, like the process when I do painting, I will come up an idea about doing the sculpture. So I will leave the painting and move on to sculpture. And then when I'm making sculpture, I will want to take photo. So I will start taking photo. You know, that idea just popping up.
And you kind of just follow idea as it comes.
Yeah, I will just follow what I felt, what I need to do now. So when I feel writing, I will sit down and finish that portrait and then go back to do some photography or painting again. So yeah, I kind of play around in the studio, and even at home, I play around with daily object. So in the poetry that the photography that I take, it's all about the daily object that I play.
Yes, yeah. I think I saw on Instagram that you'd made you took butter and you kind of stacked it.
Yeah, that's when I made it, when I'm cooking, I made apple pie. And I cut it off butter, and I just thinking, maybe put that together would be nice.
Well, I thought it was really funny because the way the butter was stacked looked like your paintings, like you'd managed to paint.
Yeah.
Like butter, yeah. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's me.
And what are you working on at the moment?
Now I also using clay to make some a plain size sculpture, like just like a hand size, like kind of tiny, small one. And I also prepare the new painting as well. And I have another show coming up this year, May. So I also thinking the new project, but I might move on from oil painting to watercolor. Because I don't have the studio now. So, yeah. Because the oil painting is mainly, so I kind of thinking maybe move on to watercolor or pencil sculpture. I mean, pencil sketching at the moment.
So that was Lee Sirong. And like I said before, you can head along and see her exhibition this week. It does close on Wednesday. And Depot Art Spaces close Sunday and Monday. So head along Tuesday and Wednesday to And So We Build an Amusement Park on the Uninhabited Island, sculptures and paintings by Lee Sirong and Jenny Zhong. We've got some more interviews coming up. Frances Samuel next, talking about her new poetry collection, Museum. But first, we're going to jump into a couple of tracks. First, this is Moderation, Kate Le Bon. You listen to Art Bank, stay tuned, and if you've got any thoughts, if you've seen anything good this week, text in 5395. It's always nice to hear from you.
You're listening to Art Bank on 95 BFM.